Tom just told you a fishing story. It's a fishing story about Simon Peter. Peter was a fisherman by trade. He fished the Sea of Galilee. Galilee was, and still is, a big lake, rather than what we would consider to be a sea. But the name has sort of stuck over the years. It's about 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. Peter had his own fishing boat, and he was in a fishing partnership, partially a family business, because he was together with his brother Andrew, and their business partners, James and John. Basically, they were gill netters. They weren't sports fishermen, okay? They were gill netters, which is very, very, very hard work. The fishermen would fish all night, and they would fish at night because generally the fish couldn't see the nets. It made it easier to catch them. The fish then would be caught in the nets, and then by morning they would haul up the nets, and they'd take the fish to shore, and they would salt the fish to preserve it, and then take it to market to sell. Now, one particular day, Jesus came by, and he spoke to them and said things that would change their lives forever. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." That phrase sounds kind of odd to us. You don't normally think about fishing for people. You think about fishing for fish, right? Obviously, it's a metaphor. And it's a command. Disciples have a command to follow. Jesus wants us to fish for people. He wasn't telling his disciples to teach people how to fish in the Sea of Galilee. He was telling them that he wanted them to catch new disciples, to make new followers of Christ. Later in Matthew's gospel, we would read, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" This is a command, not a suggestion. It's not just for Presbyterian disciples, nor is it just for Baptist disciples or Roman Catholic disciples. It's for all disciples, for all followers of Christ. God commands us and empowers us to be his witnesses, sharing with others, sometimes called witnessing, because we are witnesses to Christ. It's a vital part of the Christian life. The most important part of our witness is how we relate to people. The Bible says, "Let your conversation always be full of grace." Does that describe you? Is your conversation always full of grace as you relate to other people? Gracious behavior generally invites a gracious response. One of our core values here at First Presbyterian Church is gracious witness. Starting next week, we'll be going through a series called Just Walk Across the Room to help us as a congregation and as individual Christians to be a gracious witness of the good news of Jesus Christ. And yes, it does need to be gracious. A pastor talked about evangelism one Sunday morning, and later that day, one family in particular felt like he was speaking to them, so they decided they really needed to do something to witness for Jesus. So they invited their neighbors over for dinner that Friday night. People arrived for the meal, and they were kind of anxious that these neighbors recognized that they followed Christian principles in that home. So they asked their 5-year-old Johnny to say grace. Well, Johnny was shy, and he said, "I don't know what to say." It was an awkward moment. But giving a reassuring smile, his mother said, "Oh, darling, just say what you heard Daddy say at breakfast this morning." Obediently, he bowed his head and said, "Oh, dear God, we got those awful people coming to dinner tonight." It's supposed to be gracious, kind, loving. Now, you don't have to be a member of First Presbyterian Church to participate in this series. Any member of a church would benefit from this series. You're welcome to participate. You'll receive encouragement and practical help for this important aspect of our common mission. You don't even have to be a member of any church to get something out of this. No matter where you are on your journey of faith, there's something here to inspire you. And this is because we're talking about something that is at the very foundation of who we are and what God wants us to be. As Theodore Williams, the legendary missionary and theologian, has said, "We face a humanity that is too precious to neglect. We know a remedy for the ills of the world too wonderful to withhold. We have a Christ who is too glorious to hide. We have an adventure that is too thrilling to miss." Now, you may be wondering, why is it called "Just Walk Across the Room"? I'm glad you asked that question. A simple walk across the room. Boil down anyone's journey to faith, and it typically began with a walk across the room, or something like that. Someone reached out a hand of friendship. Someone spoke to you a kind word. Or maybe they asked you a really intriguing question, and the rest was history. A simple walk across the room. This is something you can do. This is something we can all do. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to learn how. In his best-selling book, Just Walk Across the Room, Bill Hybels describes how taking a few steps and an interest in someone who may just be standing on the opposite side of the room can wind up having an impact for eternity. Now, there are three ways you can participate in this program. You can read the book. You can do this at your own pace, or you can follow the recommended schedule printed in your bulletins. So, for example, we are encouraging you to read chapters 1 and 2 before next Sunday. Books can be purchased through us for $10 or use whatever normal route you would use to get a book. And if you're short of cash, don't worry, we'll get you a book. You can also follow the sermon series. So there are four messages over the next four Sundays dealing with this theme. And if you miss a Sunday, you can always go to our website and read the sermon or print off the sermon or even listen to it as a podcast. But if you're not into the internet at all, and I know there's three of you who aren't, anyway, I won't name you. You still have a party line on your phone. Can you believe that? For those of you who don't get into the internet, just contact the church office. They'll be glad to send you a printed copy. They'll mail it out to you, and no problem. Okay, so one way or another, you can get if you miss a Sunday. But the third way is that you can be part of a small group. And by small group, I mean a group of 4 to 12 people. 4 to 12 people meeting once a week for 4 weeks, starting the week of October 1st to the 7th. So not this coming week, but the following week, we're starting small groups. Some of the groups meet on Sunday morning right after service. Some meet during the week, including at least one daytime group. The teaching material is on DVD. Each group has one or more hosts who facilitate the discussion. Now, if you're part of a brand new group, rather than an existing group that's taking on this project, we are encouraging you to meet for a fifth time, an optional fifth time. And the purpose of the fifth time is to talk about whether you want this to be a regular thing for your group and what particular topics would you be interested in exploring. That's optional. Just walk across the room is 4 weeks. Surely you can carve out four times in your schedule for something that's this important. Now, I'm going to read you the names of the hosts. Most of them are here today. Some couldn't make it today, but we'll be back next Sunday. And as I read your name, I want you to stand and remain standing as I get through the list. And so I'll explain who they are and where they're meeting, and you can take note. Group one, Carolyn Rex and Tom Till. And they're meeting at Carolyn Rex's home. Well, Lauren, too, I guess. Sorry about that. So they're meeting at the Rex home Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m. at your home. Stay standing. Group two, Amy Rosa, Jan Ritter, Sue Healy. Now, this group is meeting Sundays right after service. So they're meeting 11:15 Sunday in room 12, I believe. Group three, Denny and Susan Stultz, they're meeting Tuesday, 6:30 at the Youth Center. Tuesday, I'm sorry, is it 6? All right, so if you come at 6:30, you miss the refreshments, sorry. So Tuesday at 6, the Youth Center. Group four, Carl McCune, Steve Ohl. Wednesday, 5:45 parlor. Wednesday, 5:45 parlor. And this is, in effect, as I understand it, more or less the Wednesday night Bible study, but just taking a break to do this series, okay? But anybody's welcome to come to this group. Group five, Lisa Brown, Jenna and Larry Turpin. Wednesday, 5:30 at the Brown home. Wednesday, 5:30 at the Brown home. Group six, Jim and Karen Rich, who could not be with us today. Wednesday, 6:30 at their home. Wednesday, 6:30 at their home. Group seven, Pat Weatherwax and Pat Scheid. Mondays, 1 p.m. in the afternoon in the parlor. Mondays, 1 p.m. in the afternoon in the parlor. And then group eight, Gene Rost. Sundays, 11:15 in the chapels. In the chapel. Sunday, 11:15 in the chapel. Now, if you have questions about these small groups, you can talk to one of the hosts. If you want to sign up, you can go into the parlor and sign up for one of these groups, or you can go online and sign up that way. But do it soon. Do it today, if at all possible, to sign up for one of these groups. Thank you, host. You may be seated. All right, to recap then, you can read the book, or you can follow the sermon series, or you can be in a small group, or, now this is kind of novel, you could do a combination of those three. In fact, if you did all three, that's where the most benefit would be, but your choice. Now, doing this series will inspire you. It'll inspire you to discern when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. It will inspire you to reach out to people far from God in a very natural way. It will inspire you to clearly and humbly tell your faith story in 100 words or less. You heard me right, 100 words or less. Not 100 pages or less. 100 words or less. And then we'll give examples during the series of people's actual statements. And it will inspire you to spread God's love through something as simple as a walk across the room. So I do hope you join us for this four-lesson series. It will refresh your appreciation for the Holy Spirit's mysterious ways. It will rekindle your passion for people. It will revive your belief that the single greatest gift you can give to any member of your family or to any friend is to introduce them to the God who created them, loves them, and has a purpose for their lives.